Well, good morning. It is great to see you all. I'm glad you're here today. Hey, on the weekends, what we've been doing the last few weeks, actually the last year, is asking ourselves, how healthy do you want to be? How healthy do you want to be? And so we've looked at individual, physical, and emotional, spiritual health. We've looked at healthy community. We've studied through the book of Galatians, looking at and unpacking healthy faith. What we're doing now is we're examining what does it look like to interact with the world in a healthy way. In particular, how can we have healthy conversations, even difficult conversations about hard topics? How can we talk about controversial things like sex and greed and even politics and not be a jerk? Yeah, even better than that, how can we be like Jesus? Jesus talked to people about hard stuff. He told them hard truths. And he loved them, and they felt loved. Jesus can teach us to do that too. We can learn that from Jesus. That's what we're doing. So for today what we're looking at is how can we talk about to people about morality, about right and wrong, and not just be a big jerk? How can they actually feel loved? Well, how do these conversations happen? Often the way they happen is we're doing something else with a friend. Maybe we're out shopping, we're out for coffee, we're just hanging out with them, and they say something like, hey, what do you think about whatever it is? What do you think about sex outside of marriage? What do you think about taking things from work every once in a while? What do you think about white lies? Maybe they use the old, I have a friend who's addicted to shopping, addicted to porn, addicted to drugs or gambling. Or maybe they just come out and say it. I'm sleeping with someone who I'm not married to. Or I've been spending money I don't have. I'm afraid to tell my spouse, my parents. I've been cheating on my taxes. Do you think I could get caught? Or I get angry, so angry sometimes. And I hurt, even physically, the people I love. How do we respond to that? I mean, what do you say when someone says something like that to you? Boy, this talk got serious quick, didn't it? What do we say? Well, I think we tend to respond in two ways. One way is that we judge and we condemn the person. That's wrong. And sadly, Christians have a bad reputation for that. On the other hand, and this is even more common, what we do is we're just silent. We don't say anything useful or helpful. We don't know what to say. So we're like, oh, that sounds bad. What about those twins? Or maybe we manage to say something like, oh, well, everybody has to do what's right for them. Or, you know, everybody makes mistakes. Nothing helpful or useful. Am I the only one that's ever been down this road? The only person, you know, who's told a friend, you are an idiot, a total idiot for leaving your family. Because they were a total idiot and it was wrong. Or who've just stood by while a friend ruined their life. You just watched the train wreck slowly happen because you didn't know what to say. Anyone else done that? Am I the only one that'll admit it? Yeah, a few people. I know I'm not the only one. Well, what lies behind those reactions? Well, a couple things. You know, when we judge, when we condemn, it's because we believe two things. First, we believe that there are universal rules of right and wrong. And then we believe that humans can and should follow those universal rules. When we're just silent, well, so often it's because we're not sure. I mean, maybe there's, maybe there's not universal rules. Maybe we just need to decide for ourselves what feels right. And besides, in the real world, everyone messes up. Even if there are universal rules, us humans, we can't follow them. Now, stay with me here. I know some of you are thinking, I don't ever think those things. Maybe you don't think those words, but these beliefs, they lie behind how we're acting. And if you're just confused right now, this is dense, don't worry, we're going to unpack it, okay? And the way we're going to unpack it, we're going to look at something that I love to say when people ask me if something's wrong. And maybe being a pastor, people do ask me if things are wrong. Is it wrong to disrespect your parents? Is greed and revenge and treating immigrants poorly, is that wrong? I mean, look at our world, our culture. Is premarital sex or same-gender sex, is that really wrong? Or hey, how could it be wrong to leave your spouse, to leave your marriage when things aren't working out? When you find someone better, everybody does it. Now, my answers are not surprises. I steal them from the Bible. But before I answer, here's what I love to say. Friend, first I got to tell you, I'm crazier than you think I am. Seriously, I'm crazier than you think I am. Because I, first of all, I let God decide what's right and wrong in my life. And in our culture, that's crazy talk. It is. No, you know, in our culture, it's okay to believe in God, you know, if that's what's right for you. But you still have to decide for yourself what's right and wrong. You can't be a free, independent, self-actualized person unless you decide for yourself what's right and wrong. C.S. Lewis, he wrote this book, Mere Christianity, and in it, he talks about the three parts of morality. That morality is, it's about how we get along with each other. But it's also about how, second, it's about how we get along with ourselves internally. And then third, it's about our purpose, what we're made for. But you see, our culture doesn't buy that. Nope, our culture just buys the first one. It's about how we get along with each other. That's how we can say things like, it can't be wrong if no one else gets hurt. We ignore that it might be hurting ourselves inside. Yeah, that it might be defeating our purpose, what God made us for. Yeah, this got kind of philosophical, didn't it? But ideas matter. And really what this boils down to is the question of where does right and wrong come from? Where does it come from? Our culture tells us, and this seeps into our thinking, that right and wrong, where it comes from like sociology and psychology and evolution. Yeah, right and wrong doesn't come from God. It's a human construct. See, we are culturally conditioned to believe what's right and wrong. Through evolution, it develops what's right and wrong. It doesn't come from a God. There's no universal standard of right and wrong. Because if there was a universal standard, by the way, there'd have to be a God. Yeah, there would. No, right and wrong is just what our culture tells us is right and wrong, or what we individually decide what's right and wrong. Really, it's what advances the survival of the species. Here's the thing, though. Even hardcore atheists don't act like that's true. Because if there is no God, if there is no universal right and wrong, then why do people, including atheists, get upset when their children are sexually abused? I know that's harsh, but hold on with me for a minute. I got to tell you the sad truth that throughout history, there have been cultures where abusing children was okay. It was fine. You could basically do whatever you wanted to kids. It was like nature, survival of the fittest. The big, the strong abuse the weak. Now, if your kids have been sexually abused, and my heart goes out to you, Jesus has healing for you. If knowing the fact that other cultures have done this differently, knowing about how nature worked, that doesn't bring any comfort, does it? No, because something deep inside all of us screams out, that's wrong. It is wrong to abuse children, no matter what culture you're in. It is universally wrong. See, whether we want to admit there's a God or not, I think all of us know, except maybe psychopaths, that there is right and wrong. There is a universal standard of right and wrong that applies to all cultures. Yeah, but let's be honest. What this means is that many humans are just capable of believing two things that are contradictory. Yeah, it can't be true that I'm just free to decide for myself what's right and wrong, and there's a universal standard of right and wrong that applies to all cultures. Those things can't go together. But we want so desperately to be free to do whatever we want that we're willing to believe something that makes no logical sense. But we can't have it both ways. And some of us, myself, some of you, are willing to admit the truth, that we're not free. We're not. We're willing to let God decide, because he does decide what's right and wrong. And it can feel like such a big surrender. Okay, God, you can decide for me what's right and wrong. But it's just the truth. It's just coming to terms with reality. Another way that I'm crazier than you think I am is that I don't think that us humans, that we can actually follow God's law. My parents were Mennonites, and I've been going to church basically since I was born. and I have been taught the rules, and then I have been taught the rules again. And I have had so many people tell me, those rules are important. You need to follow those rules. You need to try harder. And yet that's actually something I love about the Mennonites, that they take it seriously, that they take Jesus's big talk on how to live your life, the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, and they actually try to do it, to be humble, to be non-materialistic, to actually turn the other cheek. It's actually incredible. And I want in on that. I want this thing to be real for me too. But as I try to do it, I can't always do it. And no one can. Read the Bible, Romans, first three chapters, 1, 2, and 3, they're all about the fact that no one can do it. There's no one who is good, not even one. Here's a crazy question. Why does God give us a bunch of rules that nobody can follow? Ever wanted to ask that? Were you here when we studied through Galatians? Because one of the things that Galatians taught us was this, that the rules, God's law, one of the things it does is it whispers to us. It whispers to us, you can't do it. You can't follow these rules. That's one of the things it teaches us. Okay, back to our difficult conversation. Friend is opening up about something they're doing that's wrong, and we know now, we know that, well, we knew it before, that judging them, that being silent, that's not helpful. But we also know that behind those responses are half-truths. Now, silver lining, we also know that there absolutely are universal rules of right and wrong, and that us humans can't follow those universal rules. So it is with that foundation that we're now going to move forward. There was a guy, long time ago, the Bible talks about him. He was a normal guy, smart guy, and he got this, that there are rules, real rules that we should follow, this tension, but we can't follow them. They will crush us. And so he went to Jesus and said, hey, what's the deal, basically? Jesus' response is really helpful for us when we have these hard conversations about right and wrong. So we're going to unpack that today. So grab your Bible. We're going to look at Mark chapter 12, starting in verse 28. It is on page 709 if you're grabbing one of the Bibles we have here. I'll pray, and then we'll look at what Jesus says. God, we need your presence today. We welcome you here. Holy Spirit, come. God, talk to us about what's right and wrong. Open our hearts to your truth and your love. God, I put these difficult conversations in your hands. I pray for more of them, and I pray that we can speak your words in them. It can be difficult, God, it really can, to not be a jerk. But you show us how to bring real light and real love into this world. Equip us to do that. Send us out in a powerful way, Jesus. Amen. Okay, again, we're in Mark chapter 12. We're starting in verse 28. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, of all the commandments, which is the most important? Okay, remember the tension behind this question. He knows the rules are real and need to be followed. He knows you can't follow them because they'll crush you. Back then, they had the temple. They had the sacrifices and offerings. That was a way of always reminding them that you can't follow the rules. You got to make up for your failures. So really, behind his question, what he's kind of asking Jesus is, can't you narrow it down a little bit? Can't you make it more manageable so maybe we could actually do it? So, of all the commandments, which is the most important? The most important one, answered Jesus, is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. And the second is this. Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. So thou shalt print them on your coffee mugs. Okay, I added that last little part there. Well said, teacher, the man replied. You are right in saying that God is one and that there is no other but him. To love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, and with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices. When Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him,
you are not far from the kingdom of God. And from then on, no one dared ask him any more questions. No one dared. It was like the first century equivalent of the mic drop. Silence. They were shocked. Are we shocked? Well, this is really practical stuff here that Jesus is getting into. This shows us how to have difficult conversations about right and wrong. First off, Jesus doesn't take the bait. Notice he doesn't fall into the trap of saying, that's not so bad. You know, when we're talking to folks about things that they're doing that are wrong, I think many people are hoping that when we hear what they're doing, we'll say, oh, you know what, that's not so bad. You know, at least don't break one of the really important rules. And it's easy to fall into that trap. Whether you have a liberal or a conservative outlook, we can do this. We say to things to people like, oh, you're spending all your money on yourself? You're greedy? Well, that's bad, but at least you're not committing adultery. You're honoring your parents. Many conservatives would be kind of good with that. Or, oh, you're having sex outside of marriage? Well, that's bad, but at least you're authentic. You're truthful and non-materialistic. Lots of liberals would think that's not so bad. Jesus is not liberal or conservative. And he doesn't take the bait here. He doesn't like pick one of the Ten Commandments and say that commandment's the most important, implicitly saying that all the others are less important. We shouldn't do that either. No, if we ever catch ourselves saying, that's not so bad, we're off track in these conversations. Things have gone wrong. Now, careful here. Remember what Jesus says. When Jesus says the most important thing is to love God with everything you got and to love other people, he's not ranking the commandments. That's not what he's doing. And he's definitely not saying, just love everybody and you can forget about the rules. No. Not saying that. What Jesus is doing, Jesus is telling us what the rules are for, the purpose of the rules. Jesus is teaching us that love defines what it means to live by the rules. Love defines what it means to live by the rules. Think about that. That's profound. Let that sink in. Okay, it's also really, really practical for these conversations. He's telling us how to steer these conversations. Yeah, so when we have a friend who says to us, hey, I'm addicted to porn or shopping or I'm having an affair, I'm hurting people, I'm greedy. Wait, nobody says they're greedy. that doesn't happen. No one says they're power hungry or covetous either, but they say things that you know that they are. Well, when they do, we can follow Jesus. We can respond in a way that's non-jerky by simply asking, is what you're doing loving? See, we know, because Jesus just told us, that if it's not loving, then it's not following the rules. It's not right, because that's what all the rules are about. And I think that all non-psychopaths, they know this to be true. Well, the little slogan, love God, love people, period, on our coffee mugs. Why is it so popular? It's not just that people are tired of rules and judgment. It's they know the truth of it. That us humans, our purpose is to love. That's what we're made for. Now, when we're in these conversations and we ask, is what you're doing loving? Please don't expect everyone to immediately say, oh, it's not loving. Wow, it must be wrong. Thanks for showing me the truth. Sometimes this takes some conversation, some dialogue, some follow-up questions. For example, if we ask someone, you know, is what you're doing loving? It's easy to respond, of course my inappropriate sex is loving. We're literally making love. That's the dumbest question I've ever heard. Awkward. Okay. Lewis, his framework, that can be really helpful. Hey, loving to the other person, is it really loving to the other person or are you just using them for sex? Is it loving to yourself? What's going on inside? Because there is no safe sex outside of marriage until they invent a condom for the heart. There's not. And is it loving to God? Is what you're doing actually loving God? Is it what you're made for? Is that, are you fulfilling your purpose that God gave you? Yeah. Hopefully right now you're starting to see that, hey, maybe I could have these conversations, these difficult conversations about right and wrong. Instead of just condemning and judging people, instead of just being silent, I could start out by just asking, is what you're doing loving? Is that loving? It's a good place to start. Just asking people, what you're doing, is that loving? Now, Jesus doesn't stop there in teaching us about rules and love. There's actually something else that he goes on to say, and it usually comes up. But if it doesn't come up, after I ask folks, is what you're doing loving, I want to follow up with this question. How do we know what's loving? Seriously, I mean, is it common knowledge? Is it opinion polls? Is it we just, this feels loving? How do we determine what's loving? Because remember what Jesus said. If it's all about love, if morality, if what's right and wrong, if the rules are all about love, then it is seriously important how we can know what's loving. I tell you, I was young once, back in like the 1920s. And back then, in the olden days, I thought I could figure out for myself what was loving. At one point, I had myself nearly convinced that the loving thing to do was to have sex with my girlfriend. Yeah, and it wasn't just that I thought, how can it be wrong? Because we're not hurting anyone else. Yeah, I didn't want to see that sex outside of marriage is like fire outside of a fireplace. We were both going to get burned. Even more, I wanted to love God on a certain level. I wanted to be a follower of Jesus. So I started to ask myself, does it really actually say no to premarital sex? You know, I started to look up Greek words. You know, do those words still apply today in our culture? Because, you know, cultures have changed. And does it apply to people who are really in love? Because, boy, was I in love with my girlfriend. More. I thought more so than lots of married couples I saw that were in love. What was really going on here, if you step back, is I just disagreed with what the Bible said about premarital sex. And even though I couldn't get the Bible to say what I wanted it to say, what I could do is create doubt. Well, doubt in my own mind. I could create doubt about what the Bible said, and that was just enough excuse to do what I wanted, to decide for myself what was loving, what was right and wrong. Now, I tell you this story about this painful chapter in my life because God used it to do something really important. He used it to teach me, that I can't be trusted. That I was so wrong. I was totally wrong. I can't be trusted to know what's loving, what's right and wrong. Seriously, I thought it was going to all be fine, that this was love. But I ended up hurting my girlfriend. I ended up hurting myself. I ended up hurting my relationship with God. All really bad. In retrospect, it is crazy how blind I was to the truth. So when I ask folks, how do we know what's right and wrong? I like to immediately say, because I don't know what's right and wrong. I've tried to figure it out myself, and I have been burned, and I don't want to be burned again. And this is something that it's easy to forget this, to not remember this principle that we're talking about. And I think this never really goes away in us humans, at least not here on Earth. Even today, folks will ask me, is it wrong to have same-gender sex with someone of the same gender? And I know what the Bible says, that it's wrong, but sometimes I don't want it to be wrong. I used to live in San Francisco, and my gay friends, some of their long-term relationships were beautiful. And I look at their love for each other, and it's hard for me to see any difference from my love for my wife today. But don't trust me. I don't. And don't trust yourself either. Because I'm not special. we all have our biases. Because of our biases, conservative, liberal, whatever they are, because of our selfishness, because of our brokenness, none of us can always figure out what's loving and not loving, what's right and what's wrong. And that's what Jesus is getting at this other thing that he says about the rules and love. Jesus, he's not just teaching us that love defines what it means to live by the rules. Jesus is also teaching us that the rules define what it means to live lovingly. Why did God give us the rules? He gave them so that we'd know how to love, how to truly love, how to love other people, how to love ourselves, how to love him. The rules are an incredible gift. Incredible gift. So when we're talking to someone and we're saying, hey, I don't trust myself to know what's loving, what's right and wrong, it's easy then to say, hey, do you suppose that maybe we should see what God has to say about that, that he might know? Because I know he wants us to know. He made sure it was written down in a book, the Bible. It's a bestseller. And the parts in the Bible that are about love aren't just the parts about Jesus and his incredible sacrificial love for us going to the cross. The rules are about his love too. How to be loving. Now, it feels like we got to go back to the part about being crazier than you think I am. Let's recall that. Because I got to tell you, in a lot of these conversations, when you get to this point, here's where you're going to run into a little bit of a rub. Because a lot of folks, they're not going to buy this. Even though, as we talked about before, if you think there's universal rules of right and wrong, of loving, there's got to be a God. They're like, I'm okay with believing things that are contradictory. People are. And so you'll get stuck here. And what I'd say is God lets us make mistakes, and we got to let our friends make mistakes too. And we got to pray for them that God will change their heart. You can't twist anyone's arm into believing this. That God tells us what's right and wrong. The rules define it for us. For me, though, one of the things that I want for my friends is for them to see the rules for what they really are. Even if they reject the rules, even if they reject God, I want them to know that the rules aren't to ruin our lives, to make them harder. No, the rules are this beautiful formula of how to love people, how to love God. And that's not just something you know, it's something you experience. When I was a kid, it always seemed weird to me in the Bible when you'd hear people say that they love the law, that they love the rules. I mean, who loves rules? Lawyers and nerds? No, the people that love God's rules are the people that have experienced them, the people that have followed those rules and have experienced the deep, satisfying love that comes from living that way. Seriously, I invite you today to fall in love with God's rules. Reflect on times maybe in your life where you have followed his rules and what's happened, the love that it's brought in. Or even better, press into following those rules with God and see what happens. What are God's rules to you? How do you see God's rules? Do you see them as a burden, a killjoy? Or do you see them as this source of life and love for you? What are you experiencing in your life? Okay, back to this conversation, difficult conversation we're having with a friend about what's right and wrong. And so our friend, they might say to us, hey, you know, I'm taking stuff from work sometimes. Or, you know, I have this secret grudge that I just can't get past. Or I can't seem to stop gossiping. It's like I'm addicted to it. And we've asked them, is what you're doing loving? And how do we know what's loving? And hopefully we've gotten a place where we can show them what the Bible says about this that's loving. Maybe we can say to them, you know, the Bible shows us that stealing is not loving. What's loving is to be generous. Look at Jesus' generosity, giving himself to his enemies, to us. Or, you know, holding grudges isn't loving. What's loving is forgiving. Look at Jesus and how he didn't hold a grudge against people who literally drove nails into his hands and his feet. He served them. He served us, dying for their sins too. Or even gossip, how gossip isn't loving. What's loving is to tell the truth and to affirm people. difficult conversations, those can be loving. Jesus, he had a lot of them. He shows us how. You see, what we want to show people is what's in the Bible, this vision, this picture that, of a loving, a beautiful life. It's in the Bible. It's in Jesus' story. It's in the rules. When we talk about right and wrong, that's what we want to give them, is a vision of what a loving life could look like. And then, after we've given them a glimpse of true love, we can ask them, do you think you could love like that? Because I know I can't on my own. No, I'm humble enough to admit it. I'm a stinking failure at doing this on my own. And this guy talking to Jesus, he knew he couldn't do it either. Remember, he's in the tension of knowing that there's rules, they're real, they got to be followed, but we can't follow them. And he's like, Jesus, can you narrow this down? Nope. Jesus never says, it's not so bad. Jesus tells us what the rules are for love, and to show us what's loving. You know, here's how the guy responds. I love how the light starts to come on for him. Well said, teacher, the man replied. You are right in saying that God is one, and there is no other but him. To love him with all your heart and with all your understanding and with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself, is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices. See, back then, they had the temple, the burnt offerings, the sacrifices. That was a way of making up for the fact that they couldn't do it. And this guy is seeing that all that religious business, all that trying hard, trying to do it, that doesn't do it. It's love. That's where it's at. Do you see what he's starting to see? The light starting to go on for you too? Let me put it another way. When we ask people, can you love like that? When we ask ourselves, can I love like that? Many of us freak out because we can't and we want to and we think we should. And sometimes it's fear that we're driven by. I don't want to go to hell. I want to be a good person. And sometimes it's pride. We think we got to. Well, you know, I can do it. I can at least do it better than those people back there. So I'm gonna be better than them. Those motivations, pride, fear, they will always take us down. And that's a talk for another day, okay? This guy's starting to see that. Those motivations don't work. Love is the only motivation for following the rules. And Jesus responds to him. When Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." Oh, I love that. Jesus says, you're starting to get it. And then Jesus does not pull out a tract, a pamphlet, the five spiritual laws about me. You need to believe all these things too. No. Jesus knows that these are difficult conversations. Sometimes people need space. When we're talking to people about what's right and wrong, we need to be listening to the Holy Spirit the whole time. And sometimes the Holy Spirit's going to say, just tell them, hey, that's a great start. And leave it there for today. I'm not going to leave it there for the day, just so you know. The Bible has this beautiful picture of love, of what Jesus did. The rules are this gorgeous picture of love. And I know I can't do it. I can't do it on my own. And yet, God is changing my heart. He is making it possible so I can love him more and more with everything I've got. He's making it possible so I can love all of you. And some of you are hard to love. He's changing my heart. And that started when I admitted that I couldn't do it. I can't love like I should. I can't do what's right all the time. So God came to fix that. Jesus died on that cross to pay the price for my sins. He went to hell literally for me. But his incredible act of sacrificial love, it's not just to pay the punishment for what all the things I've done wrong or ever will do wrong. That incredible act of sacrificial love, it goes into my heart and it changes my heart so that I can love him, so I can love other people. So I could have real loving relationships, so I can be what I was built for. When we're having these hard conversations and people tell us about the things that they are doing wrong, how they are hurting themselves and other people, how they're missing out on this life of love, without Jesus, they are stuck. No, it's worse than that. They are doomed. They will never get out of the poop they have got themselves into, ever. Same's true for us. Not without Jesus. But in these difficult conversations, we can give them hope. We can give them the good news about Jesus. Actually, maybe that's where you're at even today, seeing that you need the good news about Jesus, that you're doing things that are wrong and you can't stop. And you're like, wait a minute, I'm not sure God is changing my heart to make it possible. If that's where you're at, I can't end today without giving you an opportunity to tell God that you want this. You're done deciding what's right and wrong for yourself, and you want to follow him that you're in. And it's easy. There's no magical words to tell God you're in. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to pray just a simple prayer of surrender now. And if these words work for you, go ahead and say them to God. This is what changes our lives. This is where it all starts. Again, if these words are for you, just join me in prayer. God, we both know that I've done some things that are wrong. I haven't always been loving. Maybe I've tried to decide for myself what's right and wrong, but it hasn't worked. I get that you are the one who really decides. Father, I admit that I can't love like I should. I can't fix myself. Jesus, I accept what you did on the cross, dying for my sins, paying the price, and then rising from the dead, proving it's all true. Because of your incredible act of love, I surrender to you. With whatever faith I have, I'm saying I want you to tell me what's right and wrong. Be my King, my God. Now will you fill me with your Holy Spirit? Would you change me from the inside so I can love like you? I'm yours. Amen. Why don't you all just go ahead and stand up with me? We're going to keep talking to God now. We're going to move into what we call ministry time. It's just a time to talk to God and interact with him. Let's really listen to what God has to say. God, I welcome you here even more. I thank you for your presence. Holy Spirit, come. I thank you for all the folks who just prayed that prayer with me, who said those words to you. God, they're in. And so I pray that you come to them now. I know you will. And you start to change them, that they feel your Holy Spirit's presence. Whether they've said that for the first time now or for the 100th time, come and change them. God, seal what you've done here today. And God, as we talk about what's right and wrong, you're talking to us about what's right and wrong in our lives. We can't talk to others about morality without talking to you about morality, God. So even now, God, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you highlight areas in our lives where we're not loving, where we're not doing what's right, where we're not following the rules. God, show us those places and help us even now to surrender them to you. Fill us with your love. Change us with your love so that we can be loving, God. Free us to be like you, to love like you. And then, God, I put these difficult conversations in your hand. Give us even more opportunities to talk to people about the things that they're doing in their lives, what's right and wrong, what's loving and what's not loving. God, get us past our fear and our feelings of inadequacy that we don't know what to say, and help us to just be humble and open and tell people the truth like you did. God, put power on those conversations. Let us be a light in the world like you called us to be. Holy Spirit, come. Change us. You know, I'd like to invite the ministry team to come forward, and we'd love the opportunity to pray for you today. as God's talking to you about some of the things we've been talking about, it's a great thing to come forward and get some prayer. So if you're a person who's ever done anything wrong in your life or ever is doing anything wrong now, it'd be perfect to get some prayer. And I know that's everybody. But God can deal with those things that we're doing that's wrong. He through his love, can change us. And I would love it if you could leave here today changed. If you prayed that prayer with me for the first time, we've got a little packet of information we'd like to give you, the prayer anyone on the prayer team can give you to really get going well with following Jesus. Or maybe you're here and God's been like elbowing you about the conversation you need to have with someone about what's right and wrong. You know you need to talk to someone in your life and you're maybe a little nervous about it. We would love to pray for you. God will give you what you need for those difficult conversations. Maybe you're at a place in your life where you just want to celebrate how God has changed you, has gotten you past some of the things that you were doing that were unloving. We'd love to celebrate with you. Actually, if there's anything in your life you need prayer for, if you're struggling, you need physical healing, financially, in your relationships, Jesus is the answer. His love is the answer. They're going to lead us in some more prayer, and I would just encourage you to stay and listen to God. Listen to what he has to say about what is right and wrong in your life and how he would have you talk to others about that. Thanks for coming to the Vineyard.